This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
All right, let's dig into our lesson tonight. I want to talk about my title, my message in our third part of our series. Pastor talked about identity. I talked about your masterpiece tonight. I'm going to talk about truth or consequences. Now, how many people remember the old show, Truth or Consequences? Come on, raise your hand if you can lift them that high, all right? You know what I'm talking about, all right? It was the first game show ever produced, Truth or Consequences, and it was a show that they brought contestants out of the crowd. They would pick somebody out, and they'd bring them up, and they'd introduce them, and they're always nervous, you know, they didn't know what's going to happen because they know the show by now. And so they always ask them a question, and it was a question that they really never could answer right. Because if they did answer right, they had a second response to it. Well, no, that wasn't the right answer. And here is your consequence. And so do you know the truth of this, or are you going to have the consequence? And even the logo, when it shot out, the logo was truth, and it had a little, like, angel halo over the word truth. Or consequence, it had a little devil's little stick thing, you know. And so it was the truth or consequences. It was to put you on the spot. How many of the enemy still plays games with us? Whether you know the truth about yourself or you believe a lie about yourself is all how you're going to live out your life. And so Pastor talked about the very first week, the identity process of it, and I want to just kind of revisit that a little bit. He talked about this, and he gave this scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Let's look at it together. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, if you've given your heart to Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. The old hangs on. Does the old hang on? No, it says when we come to Christ, the old is what? It's gone. I am a new person in Christ. When you receive Christ in your life, it says the old is gone. I want you to get that word. It is gone. It's no longer who I am. I once was that. I once was an addict. I once was an alcoholic. I once was that situation. Whatever that label was on your life, whatever you were before Christ, that is gone, a new man, a new person now. How many know there's a process that begins to happen to form that new person? And so that new identity is, I once was, but now I am this. And so we all can appreciate what, man, we left behind, can't you? Some of you guys were rascals. I know your stories. Some of you guys, man, there was a past and a history. And if you could get up, some would be blown away by the amazing miracle of God. I've been minister for over 35 years, and I've heard some incredible testimonies of people's lives changed by the power of Jesus Christ. When the old is gone, the new has come. One guy in particular we used to visit in prison, and he was in for 20 years, and he was a con of all cons. Even in the prison, he was the con man. I mean, he was in there, but God dramatically got a hold of his life. We were doing a chapel service in there, and he came up to the front, gave his heart to Christ, and says, man, I surrender my whole life to Jesus Christ. I want to live for him. He became a new creation in Christ. The old was gone, and the new has come in. And he started to just get into the Word of God, and what does it mean to be a follower of Christ? He began to read the Bible from cover to cover, and he started to understand who his new identity was, because he ran the streets of Philadelphia before, and he ran the streets of Philadelphia. He owned the streets of Philadelphia. He was the king guy in the streets of Philadelphia. Now God got a hold of his life. He said, now how can I do that living for Christ? Going from the old man that ran the streets and the drug traffic and all the rest of the things. And how can I become a new man in Christ? And we saw the transformation in this guy's life as we began to continue to visit him in prison time and time and time again. And now Jim Law has gotten out of prison, started a prison ministry in our church that I was part of in Pennsylvania. And now he's doing, and he's now his own pastor, his own church. How many know there is transformation in the new creation that God's given us? The old is what? The old is gone. The new is here. I was teaching a Sunday school class one time, a marriage class, and we were talking about being pure in our minds and our hearts. And we talked about, man, that today it's difficult for some guys because they're addicted to sexual pornography. And if you're addicted to sexual pornography, you're not all that God created you to be, because that's an old man part. And as we were teaching that in our marriage class, one of the guys says, hey, Pastor Bob, can I meet with you this week? I said, absolutely. So he came in, made an appointment, came in. He brought me 4 bags of pornography. Comes into the church office. with four bags of porno. And he drops them and sits them on my desk. He goes, I want to become that new man that you talked about. I want to become the husband I need to be. I want to give my heart to Christ. I've been playing church. I haven't really given my whole life to the Lord. I want to become a new creation in Christ. I want to be that old man. Man, I've been addicted to porn since I was a teenager, Pastor Bob, and I want to give that up, man. I know it's ruining my marriage. It's ruining my sex life. It's ruining all parts of what I'm doing. I don't want to have a hold on my life anymore, a grip on my life anymore. I'm going to give it away, and I've given it to you. Yeah. I say, well, I don't receive that, but let's take it out to the dumpster, you know, and walk in, you know, secretary, don't see what we're carrying out to the dumpster. We took it out to the dumpster, threw it into the dumpster, and I said, now you become a new man in Christ. And I began to give him scriptures that he can stand on, that he can go, man, that old man, how many of those old habits are hard to break? If we don't totally surrender it over to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, that's what Pastor was talking about when we talked about the identity. Man, we have to understand who we are in Christ. When he began to understand who he was in Christ, his marriage changed. His relationship with God changed. His own identity and who he was changed. Understanding the what? The new man. See, when we become new man, we have a new heavenly Father. We have a new Father. He's the Heavenly Father. He has blessings for us. He has good things for us. He says, man, all the promises I have when we become born again, he says, are available to us. And some of us don't understand. We have access to the promises of God. We have access to be overcomers. We have access to get rid of our habits. We have access to the throne of the Lord Jesus Christ, who says, man, you can what? Overcome and be an overcomer. Some of us don't understand the access we have. Now, many of you know my son-in-law is Brandon Johnson, who's our community pastor. And he and Brittany, our daughter, already moved to Texas City, where next year they're going to plant our third Ark Church. And we're excited about that for them. We're not excited they took the grandkids, but we're excited for them to be down there. And Brandon's still with us for the next couple of weeks yet. And they moved down early before school started, or right after school started. And so Brandon stays at our house up here, because he's still working at the church throughout the rest of the year. And he stays at our house on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday nights, and then he goes home, praise the Lord, on the rest of the weekend. And I love Brandon. He's got a great heart for the Lord, but, you know, it's our house, right? And so, but Brandon, when he came, said, man, you know, you're now adopted into our family. When he married Brittany, when I said, yes, I give this, you know, woman married this man, he's now part of our home. He now has access to what? He doesn't have to knock on the door to come in necessarily. And when he's now staying at our house, he doesn't have to say, hey, can I have a drink of water? Or can I get in the cupboard? He doesn't have to ask us to do that, because we've told him, said, whatever is ours is now yours, because you're part of our what? Our family. He's part of my family now. Well, that dude, he took it seriously. I mean, the first Sunday he stayed at our house. Now, I'm not watching a particular sports stuff right now, and he wants to watch it, and so we went for a walk, and I came, I took a shower in the middle of Sunday afternoon, and we were doing something, I was reading, and I came out, and my son-in-law was in my chair, eating my food, watching my big screen TV. So I go back into our bedroom, and Joyce is watching Hallmark. And I go, and I sit there, and I thought, well, I'll just read a little bit. So I'm in our bed, and I'm reading a little bit, and I thought, wait a minute, this is my house. He's taking over my chair, eating my food and doing that. And not only did he didn't stop there, Joyce made these delicious pumpkin bars. I mean, with cream cheese in the middle. I mean, they just melt in your mouth. So she made a whole tray of them. And usually we have the kids over on Sunday after church at our house. We have a big meal. Joyce always makes a great dessert. When we left for our walk, come on, guys. When we left for our walk, feel for me. Come on, everybody, just feel for it. We left for, there was a half a tray yet of pumpkin bars. A half tray. I got back and I thought, you know what, I need a little snack. So I went out looking for the, he took full access of them. He ate them all. Every single one of them. Not only was he in my chair eating my pumpkin bars, watching my big screen TV, and I'm watching Hallmark with Joyce. There was something wrong with that. But isn't that what God says to us? He says, listen, come on, guys, listen, follow along. He says, man, once you're adopted into the family of God, you have full access to the blessings. You have all the pumpkin bars you want. It's all for you. It's for your taking. Some of us hold back. Well, I don't know. Should I just take a little bit from God's blessing? God said the fullness of his goodness is for you. The blessings are for you. Not only did that, he didn't stop there. We went to Grimaldi's on a date night. And I was there, and there's two pieces left on the tray. You know how it is. You're deciding, do I want to eat those two or not? Take them home. No, box them up. Take them home. Took them home. Put them in the fridge. I had it saved. I had the date saved. It was Sunday evening. I thought, man, and I tucked it way back in so we couldn't find them. And so I got there, and it was like it's Sunday night. I go, and I look. I said, no, he didn't. We went for another walk and came back and showered the whole thing again. And I went. I looked in for my Sunday night meal. Pizza was gone. He's made full access of it all. So somebody from the church made us these brownies with these marshmallows in them. I made a tray for them. You know, those ones that just melt in your mouth. How many are getting hungry just hearing my stories tonight, okay? And so we went for another walk. You know what happened, don't you? Okay? What he's doing is he's doing exactly what I gave him what? Access to. Permission to do. Not kind of have fun with them. But what I'm saying is, Brandon, it's yours. If I really wanted to, I'd say, hey, Brandon, could you save me some of those? But that's not our God. Our God's got the full blessings are here for you. All that you have. See, if we don't know our identity, don't understand the goodness that God has for us, we're going to fall far short of all that God has. And so tonight, as I talk about truth or consequences, I want to talk about words that are spoken over us. And sometimes we hold on to these words that are spoken over us, and we hold on to them. And how many know they can be positive words spoken over us, and we have a great identity of who we are, or they can be negative words that have been spoken over us. And we're holding on to that, not understanding the fullness that God has for us. So I remember when I was growing up, man, I had some people that had a positive influence on my life. I remember my third grade Sunday school teacher, Mr. Sadison. I'll never forget him. I mean, Mr. Sadison, man, we went to a little Methodist church in our little town, and we went in this small little classroom, and he had the third grade boys Sunday school class, and he poured into us, not just the Bible, but he poured into us life and goodness and blessing. And we knew that Mr. Sadison really did care for us. He made a huge impact on my life spiritually. I remember my sixth grade teacher in school, how he invested in me. He started believing in me. He said, man, Bob, I believe there's a future for you. I believe there's good things for you. He started to believe in who I was. I remember my JV basketball coach, Mr. Schneider, and he just got graduated from college, and he was a great basketball player, so I admired him. And he took me aside and said, man, there's huge potential in you if you just keep working hard. That's all you got to do is just keep working hard. I'll work with you. And so he worked with me all the way through my 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th grade years of school. And he just invested in me. I remember a guy, Charter Tremendous Jones. Many of you might know that name. And so Charter Tremendous Jones took me as a pastor and says, man, I know that you get this thing, that if you read books, it'll make an impact on your life. And the people that you meet will make an impact in your life. So he began to invest in me. He's positive reinforcements into my life. How many of you have had some positive reinforcements into your life that has created who you are today? It's helped you become the person that you are today. But as so many of us as well live in there, we've had some negative things spoken on you, and you're believing more the negative news than the good news that God's given us. Some of you had some things spoken over you like I did. I remember I wasn't a great student in school. And so that didn't come natural to me. I told you last week, man, they told me I had ants in the pants. I really couldn't concentrate much, can't still sit still too much. And so, you know, it's hard for me to do the work in school. And so I remember 7th grade algebra. Can I hear a groan amongst the crowd? 7th grade algebra. I remember taking such 7th grade algebra, and it might have well been Chinese, man. I didn't get anything that they were saying. And I got a D, my report card, the first D I ever got. Brought it home, and I love my mom and dad, but my mom looked at it and says, D stands for dummy. Do you all right? You know, and it just crushed me. All of a sudden, there was a label put on me. Not smart. I started to think of myself, I'm not smart. I'm not intelligent. I can't do that. And you know what my worst subject was all the way through school? Math. I kept saying, I can't do that. I can't do that. In fact, the only reason I went to college was because I was on academic probation my first year of college. My grades weren't good enough. My SAT scores weren't good enough. I thought, man, all through my school year, I wasn't smart enough to do it. I had this identity about myself. And I was known, though, for being an athlete, so I was known about basketball. So when it was basketball time, my identity was, woo, yeah, sports. And then, but when it came to studying, man, my identity was, man, I am a failure. I'm dumb. I'll never amount to anything. I remember going to my guidance counselor. My guidance counselor looked at me and says, Bob, you have a couple choices in life. I was glad I had a couple of them. You know how they help direct you? He says, you can play or you can talk your way through life. I thought, all right, PE teacher, play and talk. That's good. Let's go for it. And I remember those labels that were put on my life. I remember those things that were negatively stuck to me. And that's what the enemy does. And I talked about this last week, and I'll give it to you again. It says, a lie believed as truth will affect your life as if it were true. Let me say it again, because I think we want to drill down a little bit more on this. See, a lie, I believed a lie about myself. I believed I was what? I wasn't smart enough. I started to believe that lie, and then I believed it so long that it became what I thought was true in my life. In other words, I walked that out. So a lie believed as truth will affect your life as if it were true. How many of you have ever been challenged by, are you telling the truth? I mean, with your kids. Have you ever asked your kids, hey, are you telling the truth right now? Are you lying to me? Well, what is that? And it's the enemy continues to bombard us with these. And Proverbs 23:7 says this about this whole principle. It says, for as he thinks, or man or woman thinks about themselves, so what? So he is. Your identity, what you think about yourself, so you are. So as I began to think myself that I could not amount to anything, I wasn't smart enough to go to college, I wasn't smart enough to do those things, I wasn't going to be a very successful person was what my mindset was. I began to live that out in my life till I began a transformation to understand, you know what, I got to renew that. That's of the enemy. See, I take it like this, and I used this illustration before, but I'm going to give it to you again tonight. Our minds are like the land that a farmer plants in. See, a farmer can plant corn in the land, or he can plant nightshade, which is a poison. So whatever the farmer plants in there, the land doesn't care what he plants. He can plant what something is good, or he can plant something that is not good. The land produces whatever is planted. Our mind doesn't care what we plant in it. What we feed our mind will grow. Our mind doesn't care. The land doesn't care. It can have, what, positive or negative. Whatever we feed our minds will what? Will grow in us, just like the land. So you can plant corn and have a good crop, or you can plant nightshade, which is poisonous. A lot of us are receiving that poisonous planting from the enemy that says, man, I'm going to do what? I'm going to try to destroy your life and take you down. And God says, I want you to plant good seeds. I want you to plant seeds that are going to be a blessing in your life. I remember a couple things in our lives and how we renew it. I'm just going to give you three things tonight of how to renew your mind to become victorious. The first thing is recognize the enemy's lies. You got to recognize the enemy's lies. Sometimes the enemy says, man, my worth or our worth is determined by what I do and what others think of me. Another thing, a lie of the enemy says, my worth is I am the way I am and I can't change. Have you ever said that? I'm just the way I am. I can't change. It doesn't matter what I've tried. I'm not going to change. Another one, a lie of the enemy is, if you really knew me, you wouldn't like me. Man, I wish I had $100 for every time I heard that when I've talked to somebody. Man, Pastor Bob, if you really knew who I was, you wouldn't like me. You wouldn't really want to hang around with me. What are they saying? My identity is in this past that I used to have. The old man, things I used to do, not in the new man who God has created them to be. One of the other lies that we believe money provides security and happiness. Man, how many have ever bought into that lie, okay? Man, that's a lie of the enemy. So we think we have to have things, the right car, the right house, the right job, the right situation, the right position. And we think that's our identity. Our identity comes from those things. And we take high value in those things. Are those things important in life? Yeah, those things can help us. But it shouldn't be our identity that we have. And that was a situation in our lives. I remember our first house that we bought. And it took us about 8 years to save up to even have our first house. Our first house was a little Cape Cod home. And it had one of those galley kitchens where two people could not be in the kitchen at the same time. And so we kind of bought this little house, and we were so proud of it that we finally had one. It was a bath and then a half a bath, and so we're excited about it. And then our friends, dear friends of ours, they built a brand new house, and they happened to be chiropractors and doctors. They said they invited us over. And so we were driving into their development, getting sicker and sicker in our stomachs. Do you see that house? Look at that house. Look at that one. Look at what they had. And so we drive up to theirs, and theirs was the biggest of the big ones, of course, right? And so we drive into there, and we they're showing us, and they're proud of their house, and we're trying to be, did you ever try to be happy for somebody? And it just wasn't real. It was fake it till you make it, you know. So, but we were trying to be happy for them, and they're good buddies of ours, and we're trying to be happy for them. We're going like, I don't think we'll invite them to our house. We could actually, this is no lie, we could actually fit our entire house into their family room. That's how big their house was. But I used to think I had to have those things to be successful. I just had to have those things for my identity. See, God got to renew us in our thinking about what's important in life and what matters in life. And so the renewal process is all what God's asking us to do. So the first thing we have to do is recognize the enemy's lies. The second thing, we have to resist the enemy. And James 4:7 says this, when we resist the enemy. Let's look at James 4:7. It says, submit yourself then to God, resist the enemy, the devil, and he will flee from us. We have to resist those temptations. We have to resist those things, those lies that the enemy keeps bombarding us. And we have to live victorious. We've got to quit believing the lies and start seeing yourself the way God sees us. And the third thing was where I'm going to land tonight is this. We have to renew our minds with the truth. So if there's a lie, then there's also a what? Truth. If you're believing and walking in the lie, you're going to live a life according to the lie, not according to the truth and how God sees us. That's why it's so important that we renew our minds, that we continue to come to church, that you get into the Word of God yourself, so you have a renewing process to take place, so you understand who you are as a child of God. Don't believe the lie, believe the truth. See, when I was growing up, I illustrate it this way. I came home from school one time. I was in seventh grade. And my mom, how many have had one of those moms that you didn't take long to read whether she was mad at you or not? You know what I mean? The veins would be popping. I came home one, and it was like, Bobby, you come right in here, boom, and she was off and running. Man, she was mad as a hornet. And she had me sit down, and her veins were, I mean, they were popping. She was red as can be. And she was just giving me the what for. I got a telephone call from this manager at the 7-Eleven near your school, and he told me that you came and you stole candy from him this morning, and he wants me to take you over there, and they're going to have the cops there when you get there. And she was just going over and over again how I did this terrible thing. And I went, Mom. Man, I didn't do that. That wasn't me. Thankfully, she took a pause like I just did. She goes, we'll see. We're going to drive over there to the store right now, and I'm going to take you there. And I was trying to convince her. I didn't go to the store. I never go down there to the store. It's one block away from the school where we dropped off. So we get there, and the store manager, we walk in, and she goes, hey, I'm Mrs. Cap, and this is Bobby. And he goes, that's not Bobby. That's not who robbed me this morning. No, he was, and he described it. Described a guy I knew. I thought, all right. Tomorrow when we get off the school bus, George is in trouble. See, George knew my phone number because he would call me. He lived right down the street from me. So when he got caught, he told the store manager that it was me, my name and my phone number, thinking he wouldn't get caught on this deal. But if we believe the lie long enough, my mom was believing the lie that she heard, the story she heard, she believed it to be what? True. We can do that as well. And so when we look at renewing our minds, if we renew our minds with the truth, it says that in Romans 12, in verse 12, it says this. It says we got to renew it with the truth. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of our minds. And that word transform means to just continually have it what? Continually get the Word of God over and over and over again of who we are. A couple things under renewing your mind, man. Don't hang with negative people. If you're having a hard time with this, don't hang with those people that you once were with, because they will drag you down. It'll be like nightshade in your life. But you got to live with the people and walk with people that are going to plant the right seeds into your life. And it says this, it says, as we do that in 1 Corinthians 15:33, it says, bad company what? Corrupts good character. Secondly, don't dwell on negative thoughts. How do you renew your minds? Don't dwell on the negative. You got to replace it with the positive things. There's a story about an eagle that was raised in a chicken coop. Anybody hear that one before? This eagle is just kind of there, and it hatched, and it was kind of raised in the chicken coop, and he was in the chicken coop and in the chicken coop. And so he'd walk around as an eagle, just plucking seeds up just like a chicken would. And he was acting like a chicken because he was in the chicken coop. And so one day as he was in there for months and months and months, he was just acting like a chicken because he was in the chicken coop. But he was an eagle. And one day he looked up and he saw this bird fly by, another eagle. And he looking around, thought, well, that's more my identity. That's more like who I am. And the other chickens, no, I'll just keep doing the chicken thing. So he kept doing the chicken thing, and he kept doing it for another couple of days. And he saw the same eagle fly by, and he thought to himself, I think that's really who I am. I started to do this. And all of a sudden, he took off and flying. He found his true identity. See, he could have believed the lie that he was a chicken. You could believe a lie that, man, I'll never be an overcomer. I'll never get over my addictions. I'll never break that habit. I'll never have those victories in my life. Or we can believe that what? We are an eagle, and we can soar the way God wants us to soar. It says this in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7, how we replace negative thoughts with God's thoughts. It says the peace of God. Let's look at Philippians 4, if we will, okay? Philippians 4, it says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about those things. Don't think on the negative. What are we supposed to think about? Those things, the goodness, the blessings. We're supposed to think about the pumpkin bars. We're supposed to think about the Grimaldi pizza. We're supposed to think about those things and those blessings that God has for us. God says, man, I want you to reform what is in your life. Whatever you see yourself right now, God has a plan for you, a destiny for you. He has something more for you. I want you to soar like the eagle. Don't be plucking like the chicken in your life. Don't believe the lie the enemy has been putting in your life over and over and over again in and through you. God has a destiny. God has a plan for you. Let me just read some of the things that we can do as we're looking at wrapping up tonight, okay? Some of the things. When you know that you are in charge, okay? When you know what you're in charge of your mind, or if you know the changes that you want to do, it says this. When you know who you are, it changes your thinking from failure to, I have the favor of God. Listen to that. When you know who you are, your identity in Christ. When you know who you are, it changes your thinking from failure to I have the favor of God. I have the blessings of God chasing me down. When you know who you are, it changes from addict to I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When you know who you are, it changes from not smart enough to I have the mind of Christ. When you know who you are, it changes from I won't amount to anything or I'm just average to I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. When you know who you are, you know you are strong in the Lord. You know you're talented. You know you're courageous. You know you're healed. You know you're well able. You know you're the child of the Most High God. When you know who you are, you live and you act and you breathe differently. You respond differently in life when you know who you are, your identity in the Lord. So when Pastor started this a couple weeks ago, he says, you're a new creation in Christ. If you've given your heart to Christ, you're a new creation. You no longer are, but you can be victorious in the Lord. Let's pray today. Father, thank you for your goodness and your grace for us. Thank you have a plan for our lives. Lord, thank you have good things in store for us, like pumpkin bars. God, we thank you that good things that you do for us in our lives and our hearts. God, as we chase after you with all that we have, we thank you for your favor, your blessing, your goodness. Lord, is on our lives, and we thank you for that. We give you praise, Lord, because we have the new creation we have in you, Lord God. We can put aside all those habits and addictions and those things that used to be us, but it's not our label anymore. It's not our identity anymore, that we're a new creation in Christ because of you. God, thank you again for what you're doing in our lives, in our hearts. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Now as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. Tonight, if you came in here, you've never given your heart to Jesus, and you just feel a tugging in your heart by the Holy Spirit that you want to do that tonight. You want to say, yes, Lord, I want to surrender my whole life to you. I want to know my identity is in you. I want to become a new creation in you. If that's you tonight, I just want you to slip up your hand real high, just between me and you and God. Say, yeah, tonight's my night. Or maybe you want to come back to the Lord. Maybe it's been a long time since you surrendered your heart to Christ. You're saying, Bob, that's me. I want to do that tonight. All over, yeah, in the back. Come on, tonight. Just a couple minutes. Anybody else in the mezzanine? Thank you, gal. Anybody else tonight, you just want to say, man, I want to give and surrender my heart to the Lord. I want to give you an opportunity tonight to do that. Thank you, all over the place. Thank you. Yep, thank you, gal, here in the middle. Anyone else? Anyone else? This is your moment. This is your opportunity. Yeah, thank you. Let's all pray this prayer together. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. And I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. And I have a relationship with you. I am a new creation in Christ. Because I've said yes to you. Thank you, Lord, for those hands that came, that were raised, for those maybe privately that prayed that prayer for the very first time. We give you praise and glory and honor. Lord, thank you that we're called into your kingdom. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. He is good. He's faithful.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.